I hear an airplane.
Yeah, that's me.
Chickens and airplanes. Wow.
Welcome, everybody, to a new podcast on WP Candy. This one is called the Roundtable Podcast, or the WP Candy Roundtable Podcast, or the WordPress one. We're still working out the kinks there. But the idea of this show is to bring on a panel of experts every week, the way that you might expect to see maybe at a WordCamp or somewhere else, and basically just kind of hear what they have to say on a few topics. This week we have, what would you call you guys? Would you, collectively, as an independent developer, maybe?
The Guild.
The Guild.
Renaissance Men.
Renaissance Men. I'm here with Mike McAllister, Jake Caputo, right?
Yeah, there you go.
And Chris Molitor. Thanks, guys, for hanging out with us today.
Yeah.
Yep.
And for sticking around for my massive time zone screw-up.
Yeah, this will be our second podcast.
The first one was excellent.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. So first things first. Now, let's make sure that everybody knows who you guys are. Let's go around the virtual roundtable we have here, and maybe let everybody know what you're doing recently and where somebody would know who you are. So let's start with let's start with you, Mike, because for WP Candy readers that have been around for about a year, they'll probably remember you as writing one of the more epic posts from our site last year.
Yeah, that was me. That was definitely me. Yeah. Yep, I'm Mike McAllister, WordPress developer. I wrote the article last year about $35 themes and how I was not content with that. And I sell themes on ThemeForest and also OK Themes, which opened up shortly after that that whole thing unraveled. So, yep, OKThemes.com and ThemeForest.
Jake, you actually had some a post published on WP Candy recently, so people might recognize you from that. Otherwise, also from
ThemeForest.
Yes.
And I just launched ThemeThrift.com last week, which apparently 92% of people hate.
Me included.
I believe there will be a post going up on WP Candy about that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I make really bad themes. So there you go.
Chris, can you top that self-deprecating update?
Well, I can go low. No, I'm kind of – actually, I have the most boring intro. I just do ThemeForest. That's basically it. Mm-hmm. I've done a couple of presentations at my local WordCamps here in Seattle, but beyond that, I'm just a ThemeForest junkie.
Which I guess, all three of you have been at one point or another, right? I mean, Mike and Jake, yeah. You kind of have your own brands now outside of the marketplace, but you've all been there in a pretty big way.
Yeah, I think we're all mostly based in ThemeForest. We have our hands in other places, but mostly ThemeForest.
Yep.
That's where our main income comes from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those two more so than me.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess we should just jump right into it then and start talking about ThemeForest. It sounds like you guys usually have quite a bit to say about it. Mike, you got a lot of that off your chest last year, but it sounds like you still have a lot of thoughts on
ThemeForest situation. It's been an interesting year. There's been, they started the Elite program shortly after that outburst, I guess we're going to call it. And it's still kind of puttering along. The price changing tool, which was, I guess, one of the bigger features there, has since been removed. And there's supposed to be some other things coming, some price changes and things. But, all in all, I don't think really much has changed. And, I'm optimistic, but it's still, I don't know what's going to happen this year. We'll see, I guess.
Now, am I right in saying, I mean, I've never released or really sold any themes the way that you guys have, but if I understand it right, and I guess the appeal for developers of Theme Forest, that's where the audience is, right? That's where there's so many right. people yeah. are buying themes.
Their reach is just so big mm-hmm. in the marketplace. So,
how long have each of you guys been selling in Theme Forest?
I think Mike, you've been doing it the longest, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I've been doing it for about 3 years.
Yeah, I've been around about four years, I think.
I'm coming up on a year.
How much has it changed from? Because I mean, 4 years ago it was still big, right? Yeah. 3 years ago it was still big. A year ago, really big. Yeah. I mean, I guess with the amount of time that I spend on there is usually just checking out what's new, which I'm sure you guys do plenty of too. And
yeah,
over time, there's just such a huge volume of stuff being created over there. Has that always been the case? I mean, has it really kind of amped up in popularity over the last few years, or was it really that hopping when you joined a few years back?
I remember when I joined just as a buyer. Theme Forest wasn't really quite out yet, and it was mostly Flash Den at the time. Hmm. And even then, they had a crazy audience. And coupled that with the tutorial sites, which is how I initially got into it. When ThemeForest started, they just already had a ginormous audience. So
yeah, definitely.
It was kind of insane from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely once it was sort of like a flood. Once it opened, they automatically had a lot of traffic, and then it just, you know, I think once people realized how easy it was to sell files and make money, it was just a matter of time until more people would join.
So I haven't been following the Elite stuff. You said that that's kind of still going around, or I heard that some part of that was either changed or shut down, or
yeah, it's kind of weird. There's little things, you know, like little badges and stuff they introduced on the site mm-hmm. to sort of say this is an Elite author and what have you. But the biggest thing was, you know, when I was complaining about the $35 themes and everyone was sort of getting behind me, the response was, okay, well here, you know, for Elite authors who have earned so much money, we'll give you the freedom to change your prices a little bit. And it was, you know, within certain guidelines that we could change it. So it was kind of cool. For a while, we all got to, you know, raise and lower our prices and play with it. And then, just one day they decided to take it down. There was not much discussion as to why or, it wasn't justified to any of the buyers. Nobody really understood what was going on. And it was just one of those, well, we're taking it away and we'll have something coming up soon. And that just seems to be the MO that's in the pipeline kind of situation. But
Yeah, it seems like they've just kind of, I mean, from my perspective, I was scared to use the pricing tool initially because there was no way to really test what kind of impact it would have. And with the way it was set up, you had to wait a month to undo what you did.
Yep.
And so it was a little bit of a
risk. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm wondering if it might have been taken out just because it wasn't utilized the way they'd expect it would be.
Right.
So that's probably why they went back to the drawing board. But again, I'm just speculating.
Yeah.
Hmm. What is your strategy when you're releasing themes on Theme Forest or now, I guess, on your own? I mean, I see there's been some questions in the chat room about numbers of themes, I guess, rather than number of themes sold. I'm curious how many themes you try to release in general. Is it some theme shops out there or clubs or whatever will try to release, you know, one or two a month. Do you stick to that kind of schedule or do you just kind of really release them as ideas come? I guess that's a collective question.
Yeah.
I don't really stick to a schedule. I just kind of do stuff when I get inspired to do something. I don't get a lot of enjoyment out of doing one type of theme over and over. So I try to think of something that I haven't done, learn some kind of new technology and incorporate it. So the whole process for me is very rewarding. And, Yeah, so I just enjoy implementing some kind of new technology that just comes out. So there's no real schedule, though, for me.
Yeah, same here. I don't have any kind of guidelines. I'm not, you know, oh, I got to get one out a month or everything. It's nice, like a nice goal, I guess, you know, to get to stay relevant. But just as the ideas come in, and I've spent like the last month and a half just updating frameworks, you know, code and stuff like that, and just getting everything in order. So just whenever they come.
I'm trying to just build my portfolio on there right now. So I'm a little newer to it than these guys. So right now I'm trying to kick out, say, one every 2 months or so. Mm-hmm. And then after each WordPress one, I'll kick out an HTML version of it as well, just to, again, beef up the portfolio a little bit.
Is there a specific type of theme that you think tends to sell the best? I mean, is there a temptation to just kind of stick to what plays really well with people and always kind of keep making that same style?
Oh, you just take a look at Forest. That there is a theme style that has just been beat to death mm-hmm. over and over, but people are still buying it, so it like justifies it in some people's eyes to keep mm-hmm. making it. But I personally refuse to do that. I'll take lower sales and the integrity over making that same theme over again.
Well, yeah, I mean, from my perspective, it's just I would be just so bored out of my mind doing those kind of things over and over. That I just wouldn't get anything out of it. Even if you made a ton of money, I would just be like dreading it, you know? So,
yeah.
Well, that's the reason we all work for ourselves too, so that we don't have to do that kind of thing.
Stick it to the man.
Decisions.
Well, yeah.
Sure.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, I've definitely seen, and it's not just specific to ThemeForest. I think it's across, you know, I was commenting earlier this week that, when looking at all the new theme releases, you know, as somebody who doesn't have to build a lot of business and portfolio sites, you know, I just get excited to find a normal blog theme somewhere because there are so many. Right. It seems, you know, and I can understand that, like you guys are saying, that wouldn't sell well. So why would that, I guess?
Well, it's kind of funny because it seems like those styles are called Tumblog styles now.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like people are referring to them as WordPress themes like they used to, because before people would be like, "Oh my gosh, this I can't believe this is WordPress because it has more than two columns," and so it's weird that it's kind of shifted back to a Tumblog.
Yeah, now they call them Tumblogs or blog style. Now it's reduced to
mm-hmm.
yeah
instead of just WordPress, which is what it used to be.
So I have to think. So one thing I notice also on ThemeForest is that there's a lot of what I would consider overwhelming marketing, and I guess the use of buzzwords, things like that, it's pretty strong. Am I wrong in that, or do you guys? Maybe that's just the way to attract kind of eyeballs when you're selling there. I guess I'm thinking of things like. Strong use of just kind of words in names of themes, but also in descriptions. Things like responsive is a big one right now.
Options, yep. Responsive, options,
sliders. I mean, short codes.
Yeah, I don't really know what kind of impact that has, to be honest. Because I mean, some you know when it first started out, people were really focused on the preview mm-hmm. image that would pop up. Mm-hmm. But I've seen examples where it was a horrible preview image where it didn't show anything, just a single title thing. And it did pretty well. And so that kind of went out the window. And, but yeah, with the buzzword stuff, I honestly don't know. It seems like it's mostly for search purposes, but they seem to be improving the search. So it doesn't just look at that kind of stuff anymore.
Well, the search improvements are in the pipeline.
I'm guessing by the chuckle, that means that's a commonly used phrase.
Yeah. It just seems for development stages and stuff around ThemeForest, it's kind of an ongoing thing of it's in the pipeline mm-hmm. is sort of the it may or may not come out eventually.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, we've not really perpetuated that one. It's sort of just come about naturally. But it's,
you know, you need one of those tables to translate the, you know, the, I guess, the project manager speak into – real time.
If, right.
If this right. is said, it's a little ways out. If this is said, it'll never come
out. Yeah, right, right.
Let's see. So there was a question in the chat that I wanted to pull from, asking about large-scale theme shops. So you guys are all, I guess I want to ask, are you all kind of solo developers at this point, or do you work with others sometimes?
I think we're pretty much solo.
Yeah, I think we're all solo.
Okay.
Yeah, for the most part. I have one up on ThemeThrift now that me and Pippin, who just had a baby, so he's not here.
Right, which is understandable.
Right.
Priorities.
I disagree.
Yeah, what a jerk.
So, well, yeah.
Anyway, congrats, the two of us Pippin. Just worked on one, and this is going to be my first time actually collaborating with another Envato freelancer, I guess. Because he's more on Code Canyon. Well, he's all on Code Canyon rather than ThemeForest.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, I haven't really decided to do my own thing. I a while ago I took down themes that I uploaded a long time ago that were like just basic HTML things and PSD designs, and I put them up on my own site for sale, but. I just have zero reach compared to ThemeForest. So it's just it would take so much energy just to get an audience. And that's one of the things that deters me from doing my own thing.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say then that your aspirations are to stay a small, successful, growing shop kind of on your own? Because we've definitely seen some huge growth in you know, theme, I guess, what would you call everybody collectively in theme businesses, some huge growth in some certain shops. Is that just really not on the radar, not on the table for you guys?
Are you saying like hiring other developers?
Hiring other developers, becoming kind of putting together more of a team. I mean, you know, and it's not to, I'm not definitely not treating it as that's the end goal, because for a lot of people, I don't think it is.
Right.
No.
Well, the only guy that I know of that's actually done that is Jonathan Atkinson, who's TWS on ThemeForest. I follow him on Twitter, and so I hear that he's kind of starting his own thing with like an actual team environment. And he started out, I believe, on his own. So, but I don't know of a lot of examples of that happening.
Right.
In the ThemeForest world, at least.
Yeah. No, I enjoy just working by myself. And, like, Mike and I talk every single day of the week.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're able to bounce ideas off of each other and things like that, but we're not working on each other's stuff much.
Right.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, even, you know, I started OK Themes and never with the idea of growing it into something big or a team effort or anything like that. I just don't have any desire to build something that needs that much managing. I just want something that I can manage myself and small and successful. I don't think I'll be growing like that anyway.
OK Themes, since you brought that up, mm-hmm. you sell themes there, but you also sell on ThemeForest. Would you say that strategy is to sort of kind of build your own separate shop on the top of your ThemeForest success to kind of attention? Yeah.
When I originally launched OK Themes, I didn't promote my ThemeForest items at all. I kind of wanted to establish it as a, you know, a separate little entity that that was going on there. And I did that for a while. And then earlier this year, maybe last month sometime, I finally integrated the ThemeForest stuff in there. So it's all available at OK Themes, but, you know, some of them go to ThemeForest. And it kind of works in cross-promoting a little bit, yeah.
I've been actually meaning to ask you, Mike, what made you decide to start putting your ThemeForest stuff on there? What kind of pushed you to do that?
I don't know, because some of the it was just a decision of some of the themes I was making. You know, I don't get an incredible amount of reach on OK Themes. So to spend a lot of time on a theme where I think, okay, this could do really well on ThemeForest, Or put it on OK Themes and it's like, you know, Russian roulette. Maybe it'll sell, maybe it won't. So it's like, you know, I do want to still release quality themes on ThemeForest because it's, you know, the reach is huge. But I also want people who end up on OK Themes to buy my themes, which I have the, you know, ability to set the prices for and do my own promotions and all that stuff. To see my other stuff as well, because, you know, why not? It's all really one portfolio. The only separation is what I've made it, you know, through OK Themes or what have you.
Have you noticed any difference in sales on OK or ThemeForest since you put the ThemeForest or you linked to the ThemeForest stuff on OK?
It's hard to say because, I don't know, this year has been pretty good on both. So it's hard to say if one's lending to the other. I'm sure that the traffic that I get on ThemeForest is trickling over to OK Themes. I think that's almost a guarantee.
Yeah.
Are you not using the Envato stats to look at referrals at all? Or
sometimes, you know, they're kind of.
Wait, was that a joke?
Oh.
Ouch.
Well, they are. They're notoriously finicky, and yeah, I mean, because I'll get stats that say people are visiting the theme demos, you know, but it's hard to say where they go from there sometimes.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah.
So,
someone just asked on the chat here, did you get your exclusive author badge revoked? No. That's because I don't sell the same themes on ThemeForest as I do on OK Themes. They're entirely different themes, so I am able to do that.
So speaking of, so we've got OK Themes, there's Theme Thrift, and Chris, you stick mostly to just selling on ThemeForest, right?
Yeah.
So there's no sort of outside place to see your stuff.
Not really, no. The only thing that I've really tried was putting a couple items on my personal site, but nothing like official theme shop or anything like that.
So on ThemeForest, and this was really the topic of the editorial that drew all the attention last year, themes submitted, they sort of determine the price, right? When they're
yeah.
submitted and reviewed. And we mentioned the price adjustment tool. Is that gone?
Yeah.
Okay. And it doesn't... used it too much.
In some cases, I think you can kind of suggest the price that you would like to see. Mm-hmm. If you think it's deserved, you might say something like, you know, I would hope to see this at $40 or $35 or whatever. That doesn't mean so much anymore. But before, like maybe a couple years ago, themes were averaging more on the $20-$25 range. And so you would kind of want to nudge for a 30-35 compromise, but that isn't so much needed anymore because they kind of just stick to a standard price right now.
And, well, supposedly yeah. they're raising prices across the entire site. There was I forget who started the forum post, but they made it saying that we need a price increase, and then Envato staff popped in and said, actually, we're going to implement this by the end of the month, that being the end of April, which has come and gone,
mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen anything. And recently somebody said that it's ready to go, they just haven't pushed it live yet. But, I mean, nobody knows anything about it. So I don't know if everything's going to go up $5 or $10 or whatever, but I think the bigger effect of this is that since ThemeForest is the big boy in the community, when they increase prices, it might force everybody across the board to increase prices.
You mean like other theme shops?
Right. Like Mojo Themes is pretty much on par with their pricing. So I would imagine they would go up as well.
Yeah. I just can't see them raising the prices on ThemeForest enough to have that kind of influence. I mean, realistically, they're at $35 to $40 now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see it going more than $5 more up, to be honest. I don't think that they want to take that kind of risk. I mean, I could be wrong. That would be amazing if they went higher than that. But
well, no, I agree with you. If they try to raise it too high, too fast, I mean, people would lose their minds.
Right.
Well, I think it's really relative to the audience that the shop has, because ThemeForest is just has such a huge number that you can be successful if it was $20, you know,
yeah.
Whereas on another theme shop, to be equally as successful, you might need to push it a little bit higher. I mean, if you just consider iTunes, they're doing dollar songs and they're doing pretty good. So it's one of those things where it's really apples and oranges because of the reach. And so I don't think like a flat rate across all marketplaces and for all themes really makes a lot of sense to me.
Sure.
Where would you guys like to set the price of your themes if you had that control? I guess, you know, Mike and Jake, you kind of have that control now that you're releasing themes elsewhere. You can price it whatever mm-hmm. you want.
Right.
But what, maybe not the ideal kind of network-wide price, but personally, what would you be, what would you guys prefer to see your own theme sold at?
Well, I think it depends on the theme, because me and Molitor both have, well, we have the only two political themes on ThemeForest, and they're both for $35. And if you look anywhere else online, the few political WordPress themes that there are, people are selling them for like $150, $200 a pop.
Mm. Yeah.
So, like, what's to say ours shouldn't be, I'm not saying $200, but, you know, a little higher. I don't think $50 would be too much.
Yeah, I think the point that I would, if I were to like step into Envato's shoes and kind of defend their honor, the difference I think that I would see is in an individual shop, you're responsible for paying for marketing, you know, you're responsible for paying for payment gateways in some cases. With ThemeForest, you're not paying for anything. So for me, it makes sense that it isn't what an individual theme shop would be because they're kind of putting a little bit more skin in the game initially.
Right.
And so it totally makes sense to me if, like, you know, Mike increases his price on OK or Orman does his thing on ThemeZilla, which just kind of came out. And that makes sense to me, but that's why I was kind of hinting that like a broad range price doesn't make sense to me.
Sure. Yeah, I could see that as well. I would love to just raise the prices to $75 to $100, but you just can't do that because it's too deeply embedded into the industry, the $30 to $50 price range. Some go higher, I think. Press 75. I think their themes are something like $75 or something like that. But
I just made that connection. Wow.
Yeah. And but you know, I've been slowly increasing the prices on OK themes. I don't know, you know, where it's going to stop. I just have to kind of keep testing it, seeing how it goes, check the numbers, and I don't know. By the summer, I'd realistically like to have at least $50 per theme and sit at that for a while and see how that goes.
What's the, you know, talking about sort of kind of meeting the expectations of the typical customers of ThemeForest, do you guys see usually kind of one type of customer buying your themes, or are they kind of all over the place? Do you see a lot of people kind of buying in order to make a site for a client, or kind of hobbyists buying it for a site, or do you see kind of end business users picking up themes for their own websites?
That's actually that's something that I kind of talked about in at WordCamp last year in Seattle. In my personal experience, it's mostly been people who have clients.
Because
far and away the most support related questions I get are, you know, how do you add this or how do you change that? And then it's always ... because my client wants this or something like that.
Right.
Just getting those kind of requests over and over, I'm tempted to think that that's the majority of the buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. And just to bounce back to pricing, if that's the majority of our buyers, they're likely getting, you know, a couple hundred, if not $1,000 to flip this thing for their client. So increasing $5, $10 seems like it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
Right. That's another great point that the end user definitely should determine the price in some cases. And yeah, I mean, I think we've all been there. We were all developers before this, and I'm sure we all. I know I bought plenty of WordPress themes to as a starter and saved an incredible amount of time.
Still
and
do.
And flipped it for who knows how much. So, if I were to come across that same theme that was $100, I would still pay that. I would definitely pay that because it still, saves me an amount of time and definitely worth it. So.
And that is where the rub is, because if for the people that don't have clients, they're doing it themselves, then they would have a problem with that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as much as I get those people where it's like, yeah, I'm doing it for a client, I also see, we see the other one too, where it's, you can tell it's just their personal blog and they're sort of just struggling just to get it set up. So it's like, okay, I can understand this person would be hesitant to pay even $35. They don't even know if they can set it up correctly. So,
right. Yeah, I would also say that it probably does depend on the category too, because with the creative category where there's a lot of portfolio themes, I would say it's mostly the actual owners of the portfolio doing the theme. Like, you know, you have Theme Province doing a bunch of photography themes, and so I'd imagine most of the photographers that use the theme are the ones buying it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm sure you can kind of gauge the type of customer. You kind of mentioned the support request that you'll get. Does it feel sometimes like you are kind of supporting developers that are working for clients and helping them make websites for them rather than maybe just talking a business owner through how to set up a theme? I mean, do the support requests kind of ever go above and beyond what you think they should?
All the time,
sort of have to
beat them down and say, look, we support the theme and like theme bugs. We can't really help you set it up, although, you know, we end up giving them little hints here and there. We can't help you support every plugin out there. Personally, that's what I run into anyway.
I started out doing everything that they asked for. Like I would spend like a couple hours like writing custom code for each buyer to change something or whatever. And it wasn't until I started slowly feeling like I was getting a little bit manipulated and maybe doing the work for them that I started kind of second guessing myself. And so I started like a separate forum site where people have to go and ask questions. And then I made it so you have to register. And now I'm at a point where if it's a customization that I don't know off the top of my head and can type out in like 10 seconds, I'll direct them to a customization form thing and do it that way.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do too. If I don't know it off the top of my head, or if I can't look it in Firebug real quick, then it's a customization.
Right. And I think we're all, Molitor, are you using WordPress for theme modifications?
Yeah, WordPress, yeah.
Yeah, so here's a little plug. I think pretty much all of us now are for customizations. If they come along and they want to change the theme, customize it, we forward them to WordPress. That's WERK, WordPress. And they do theme modifications like on our behalf. So we don't deal with that part of it. If they want that customization, they can go to them and they'll pay for it. And I feel like that's pretty fair for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I'm curious about, well, there's a couple more things that I'm really curious about. One, I tend to get into conversations with people on the theme podcast a lot. And there was a recent blog started by Konstantin Kovshinin at themeoptions.wordpress.com. And you guys kind of mentioned solving problems for people by, whether it's fixing something in a theme or maybe providing an option. What do you guys think as far as the ideal approach to putting options into a theme? Because you build a lot of them. Do you try to strike a balance, or do you go the direction of, well, more options the better? You know, do you kind of question when adding new ones in, or is it sort of as the demands come, we'll just make the tweaks for people that way?
I think we're all pretty minimal with our options. And me and Mike both use Options Framework by Devin Price. Chris, what do you use?
I'm using Option Tree, which is done by I think by sponsored by Envato.
Right. Valen, is it yeah. Valen? Derek.
Yeah, Valen. Herman? Yeah, Derek Herman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never awesome. Used that.
Which are all great. I mean, those are definitely superior approaches to baking your own in every time. So kudos for that.
Yeah. I think. Yeah, we're all kind of in the same boat as keeping it as minimal as possible with the options and just letting the design or the functionality do most of the work. So,
yeah, one of my personal challenges is to attempt to utilize all of the built-in features of WordPress that I think are underutilized. There are a lot of little things that I don't think people really know about unless they spend, you know, quite a bit of time in the codex. And there's surprisingly a lot of stuff that you can play around with and do some fun things with. And I think once you start utilizing those built-in features, you find the need to not need to include that many theme-specific stuff.
Yeah, that's a great point. I get people like asking, oh, why don't you do it this way? Because I'm used to it. You know, I get themes and they do it this way. Well, that's because there's a better way to do it. There's built-in stuff. I don't use TimThumb because WordPress can pretty much do all that now. And if you just learn the codex, there's plenty of ways to do everything that a plugin's doing in most cases. And Chris, I think you even don't you use like the WordPress the galleries for like portfolio stuff instead of building custom portfolios every time? You just utilize that.
Yeah, just playing with the gallery short tag. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I want to get into that a little more specifically, but I know they inject all kinds of CSS that just sucks. So I just saw I forget who tweeted it, but somebody put out a little bit of a function that will strip out all that CSS so you can put in whatever you want. So
that's entirely the point. Yeah, I mean that's the entire point of using the built-in stuff because. For all we know, they will improve how that stuff is done in the future with future updates, as opposed to us having to constantly update our own stuff.
Right.
It just seems like you're kind of setting yourself up for following the leader if you're doing everything on your own.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So let the let WordPress do the work.
Yes.
I just saw at the beginning or earlier when the first podcast was going on, somebody was in the chat. Somebody was in the chat saying that they were trying to get a theme approved at ThemeForest and that they were just dumping all these options in to try to get it approved. And that just that's obscene. That is obscene. That is not the approach to one. I mean, that's bloat and it's just bad in general. But two, I mean, good luck with that in the future. You know, I mean, that's maybe start with a good design. And, and then just work around that. But that, yeah, there's a much better approach than just jamming it with options because you design, which is the top selling theme on ThemeForest, you know, just because that's popular. Don't do that. Please stay away from that and stop doing it.
I don't understand when somebody has like 100, 150 different font options. How can all of those look good on the theme?
Yeah, it's a cop-out. Somebody posted a good tweet, I can't remember. It's like, all these options are cop-outs. You know, make a design decision and stick with it. You know, you don't let the user make, you know, give them some options, but they don't need 300 fonts. They just don't. It's impossible.
Yeah, I mean, essentially you're creating a theme that is just a bunch of plugins.
Right, exactly.
Sure.
Make a theme. Don't make, you know, something that they can just, I don't know. Don't get me started on this.
I don't know. Maybe that's where we want to get you started. Do you think, because I have a friend who is sort of running into, for the first real time with a theme, kind of seeing its boundaries and coming to the point where they might even end up, you know, switching a theme. This is for a business that they work at. And they're saying, well, you know, now I know things and questions and things to look for my next theme. Do you guys see a lot of return buyers on your stuff, or do you think that there are a lot of kind of, do you think that some of those options laden themes that maybe are going to be tough to work with in the long term, do you think that those are picked up by first time theme buyers or people who maybe aren't going to use it for very long, or do you know what I mean? Just maybe people who aren't quite aware of the true quality that they should be looking for.
I think you're right. I think there is kind of a range of buyers, and people who are super new to WordPress, I think are initially drawn in because of the plugins. Mm-hmm. That's what initially brought me in, because there's all these little add-ons and stuff. And so that seems very enticing, I can see, to a new user. But yeah, it's hard to say really on the return buyer part of it, because we just don't have that kind of information. Jake, Jake, do you have any? Does that stats system that you use have any of that information?
Not for return buyers. No, I mean I just have, you know, a handful of people who tell me, right, hey, I'm gonna watch out for new stuff, or hey, I've used this other theme before, and coming to your stuff, I can see how good yours is. But like you said, with the first buyers, you just don't know.
Yeah.
So Jake, you're sticking with Theme Thrift, because there's another theme up there. I saw that.
For the time,
continuing the experiment a little bit more. Did you share the stats that you gave me with these guys?
I have not. I've not shared them with anybody except for you.
Oh, wow.
You should feel very special.
I'm just going to bask in it for a second.
Yeah. No, roughly it was, I don't know, do you have those numbers in front of you?
I can pull them up.
Yeah, it was for the first one, for people who don't know what it was.
Yeah,
it was a pay what you want kind of system, so you could just take the theme for free, pay $1, $5, $10, $25, $35, or $50, and it was like 92% of people took it for free, and the other 8%, which I believe was 22 people, actually paid something.
Did they get a mug?
No, nobody got a mug.
Oh.
I have a box of mugs sitting here and nothing.
No.
To
do.
See now I feel bad, because I did really want a mug.
I will trade you a WP Candy T-shirt for a mug.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, right. I can do that barter system.
I have hats.
Ooh, I will take a hat for a mug. No, but right now the one we've got up is $10, $25, $50, or $75. But I'm gonna keep up with it as a kind of pre-launch thing to ThemeForce. So whatever I make that I'm going to put on ThemeForce, I'll put on ThemeThrift for a few days first, just to kind of see how it goes, maybe raise awareness about it a little bit. But even if somebody buys a theme on ThemeThrift for $20, that's roughly what I make after Envato takes their cut on a $35 theme anyway.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I like that idea. The pre-launch.
Yeah. Thank you. any other theme authors listening, if anybody else wants to put something on Theme Thrift, you're more than welcome.
Plug.
Yeah, get this guy get off.
So it sounds like so about 8% of users paid. It sounds like a majority, though, did subscribe to your email list. So there was
nearly there. All of them. My email list more than doubled within a week.
So they were very appreciative of the free theme as they downloaded it.
Yeah. Oh, you can bother if you're going to give me a free theme, you can bother me once a week.
It's fair enough. It'll be interesting to see it. It's fun to see different business models being used for themes. So it'll be exciting to see how long you stick with that.
I was just going to say that I'm really enjoying all the experimentation going on, because for a while the most interesting approach to just generating traffic was kind of what like Orman was doing with Premium Pixels, doing the freebies and stuff.
Sure.
And we can see that was a winning model, and you can see that repeated in lots of other sites now. Right. So it's always interesting to see new things like that pop up. I just, from a creative business perspective, I really enjoy that.
It's refreshing. It seems things have gotten quite stale. That's sort of what I was bitching about, I think, last week. It was just, I'm just tired of the way things are going. It's, nothing's happening, really. So it is nice to see little things.
What else do you want to see, Mike?
I don't know. I think it started with the theme forest and just seeing that theme, the same theme over and over. And it just, I don't know, it got to me more. And I was, you know, I was driving across the country, so I had a lot of time in the car, and it just sunk its claws into me. And I, you know, so I don't know. I've got some ideas for things that I want to do, like this summer as well. So we'll see.
And that theme is, it's still everywhere.
It's not even just Theme Forest anymore. But.
Right. And every time there's a thread on Theme Forest about somebody getting their theme rejected, it's that theme.
They get so outraged, too. Like, how dare you reject my theme?
I must admit, that is definitely a guilty pleasure of mine.
Yeah, mine, too.
I feel like I need it to be explained to me that the details of this type of theme that you keep seeing. Some people might not know too.
It's a it's a menu across the top, logo on the left, menu on the right, big slider, three columns, big footer, three column footer, that kind of deal. Slightly variations, but mostly that. That's just the Theme Forest theme. That's the one.
You're forgetting all the options, Mike.
Yeah, right. And then just jam pack it with every single option you can imagine, and there you have it. What, 15,000 sales later?
So it's fair to say that there are a slew of people on Theme Forest that pretty much watch for popular styles and then just mimic it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can't blame them, you know, because especially for the people that are just starting out doing this. Yeah. I mean, honestly, that is the best way to learn. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't necessarily try and sell it, you know?
Right.
But.
Well, see, when I got started a year ago, luckily Mike took me under his wing and he was just like, do not do this. Do not make this theme.
The Theme Forest buddy system.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm also taking applications for the next person who wants to be mentored.
Yeah. So a whole new revenue stream for you.
Yeah, exactly. I know what I'm doing with the rest of my year.
So, okay, themes, talked about that. Theme Thrift, talked about your crazy experimental model. I did pull up the other stats. I don't know if you want to go into the rest of them, but we pretty much, I think, covered the interesting stuff there.
I think you found another stat. I believe it was Weaver said that he would never pay anything if I'm giving it away. Unless he was blown away, he would give me a dollar.
Okay, see, now that I know that you listen to that show, I should kind of apologize because we actually started the show about 3 minutes after your or maybe right when your timer counted down to zero.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure
it was going to stay there.
Well, we were looking at it and we said, "Oh, the timer is about down." Because I kind of was hoping we had to do the show a little bit later. Long story, but I was hoping that we'd be doing the show during the last like couple hours that it was up. And the other guys were looking at it, and I was like, "Well, you know, when it counts down to zero, it might just the counter might just say zero. You know what I mean? Like it might not." So I was impressed because the site kind of had like a waiting page that it was replaced with, and I feel bad for not expecting that from you. So
I would like this apology in writing.
In Sanskrit. I'll mail it to you on Canvas.
Yeah, please, along with my T-shirt.
But it kind of does dip into that issue with pricing where you're certainly not going to get any pull from customers or theme buyers to raise prices, right? If somebody can get it for free, they're going to. If somebody can get it for $30 or less, they will. And it's the odd individual who will say that they should be paying more or want to be paying more for a product.
Well, I think it's the people who are actually going to use it were paying for it. Or I got a couple that they paid, and then in the PayPal note it just said, "I'm not going to use this, but I really like the idea of Theme Thrift."
Nice.
Good enough.
But
I get that too. I get people that are saying, you know, I don't think your theme's going to sell very well, but I'll buy it just because it's different.
I would love those sales. Where do you get those?
Well, not frequently enough, but
right.
That was pretty much all the sales for your navigation one, right?
Yeah. Right. Well, Jake, didn't this idea for Theme Thrift just sort of start out because you had like a theme laying around?
Yeah.
So yeah, just was like, well, it's making nothing now. I guess I'll try to make anything. So, you know, even if somebody pays $1 or $10, that's $1 or $10 more than it was making just sitting there because, you know, it was on Mojo Themes or whatever.
Right.
I can't remember where you had that before.
I had it nowhere. It was sitting on my hard drive.
Okay. So it literally was making $0.
Right. No, I had submitted it to ThemeForest and it got rejected. And the reason basically was we have too many minimalist themes right now.
That's hilarious.
I was like, what else can I do to get this? Because I thought it was set apart enough so it didn't look like everything else. It was just the fact of the matter was it was a portfolio theme and it was a minimalist portfolio theme. And there's 600 of those on ThemeForest already. So, yeah, it was just sitting there and I thought, well, I'll do this and I'll see what happens. Because I thought if I give it away, it'll just be white noise. If I try to sell it elsewhere, it's not going to sell anything. But if I try to do both of them, WP Candy will be stupid enough to pick this up and write a story.
And they did.
Right. Suckers.
Played right into my palm, right into the palm of my hand.
Yeah, I think Jake's taken really great advantage of the position he's in where, you know, he's just kind of getting things going and he's trying different things out that other authors like maybe Mike and I would be a little bit more nervous to try out. So from that perspective, I just appreciate the attempt, you know, to do something.
Yeah, do something different and unique. Yeah. It's nice.
And nothing like trying and failing.
Yeah.
But we're watching, man. We're watching because, you know, if someone does something and it's just exciting enough or different enough, you know, I will get behind you.
I think that's why I got picked up because there wasn't anything else like it.
Sure.
Right.
Well, I mean, it takes, and that's why I still, you know, it's, I think there's still a draw for me personally to kind of refer to as, those who sell only on marketplaces and those who set up like a site with a brand, because it does take more work to do that. And I think it's worth noting when someone decides to, whether it's Theme Thrift or OK Themes or whatever, you know, because that's, And it's definitely putting yourself out there, I think, in a different way. So I think it's definitely noteworthy. It kind of reminded me of the different support levels. It reminded me of what Akismet's been doing with their monthly the smiley face slider, where if you want to give nothing, it's sad, and then it gets really really happy if you want to give like $100 a month or something crazy like that.
I have not seen this. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's I believe it's just the Akismet.com sign up page. It was just probably, I don't know, 6 months ago or so it started. It's just been in the last year where it used to be that it was really, really easy to, you know, set up an Akismet, what do they call it, key, and not ever be prompted to pay anything, whereas now it's kind of at least hidden behind that kind of guilty face when you're trying to get it so that you can at least feel like a piece of crap. Not that I would ever do that, but yeah. how many themes do you guys all have under your belts? Maybe not ballpark it, because not, you know, obviously themes that you're selling right now, you made themes before that, you know, whether it's for clients, for yourself, whatever. Is this one of those games where, you know, what is it, like the 10,000 hours to become a master? Like once you've made, what is it, 100, 200 themes, then you know, get it? Or not?
I've probably built under 150 themes.
Okay.
And I'm only satisfied with about 20 of them. Right. And it's definitely a process where I am quite literally terrified to go and look at my old portfolio that will never be seen again.
Oh yeah.
But I take a moment to go through and try to get into my head of what I was thinking, because I just don't understand what I was doing. And so it's definitely a difficult to do a self-reflection in the moment, because you get excited and you keep going with an idea and you think it's awesome. And it isn't until like a week later, you're like, what? This is totally wrong. Yeah. And so it's, yeah, there's no scientific method for sure.
Yeah. I think, go ahead, Jake.
Well, I was going to say, just speaking of going back and looking at your old stuff, like, even my first theme that I had on Theme Forest from back in last June, going back in there, I'm like, oh my God, what the heck was I thinking? And Mike, yours has got to be a lot worse because you just went through like 13 themes and updated them.
Yeah. I went through an incredible update process recently in which some of them just got the axe because it's just not worth the time that it takes to fix what I had done. And so it just seems, you know, and especially now, you know, I'd much rather just work on a new theme. I got all these ideas. I'd just, you know, work on a new one and just axe old ones, which is what I've been doing, sort of retiring one for every one that I release, because I just, you know, I feel like that old work doesn't really represent me now anyway. So I don't really want that out there.
Yeah. I like that approach.
Yeah.
Ryan, back to your original question.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably around there with Molitor with around 150, just because my old job, it was one of those web design companies that's like, okay, we're going to kick this out in 2 days and then you're done with it and you're moving on to the next.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty common.
Yeah. I was with an agency that was doing about two themes a week, and it was kind of crazy, but it was definitely a learning process as far as, you know, getting your development skills up and everything.
Right.
But there was definitely a little bit of quality lacking just because you didn't have time to really think things through that much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most common criticisms I see levied against theme forest sellers as a whole is usually when it comes to code quality. Now, that's, I think, more often than not, that's because, well, ThemeForest, I mean, obviously you have to get approved, but that review process doesn't sound like it's really reviewing code. It sounds like it's reviewing the marketability of a theme,
right.
Primarily. So, I mean, what do you guys think about that? I mean, because obviously you guys care a lot about the quality of your code, but that's also something that, you know, comes up, it seems like, every few weeks on it's usually when seeing other commercial plugin developers getting frustrated because they have to, you know, basically fix somebody's Theme Forest theme. And so,
right.
So they'll say, like, oh, you know, Theme Forest developers are. Now, obviously, that's, you know, playing to the lowest common denominator to criticize that. But, I mean, is it frustrating sometimes playing in that kind of sandbox with a lot of newcomers?
Yeah, because I think I see occasionally on in the forums people complaining about a theme they bought, and they chalk it up to complaining about Theme Forest themes in general, which obviously I don't think is a fair judgment. We're dealing with thousands of authors and you know, tens of thousands of themes. So you're gonna get a different quality depending on what theme you get. But it's really, I don't know. Those arguments don't really make a lot of sense to me, especially when there are theme demos where you can quite literally just go and look at the source code and see how it's set up to kind of judge how well it's set up.
Yeah, there's probably a good, you get a good gist of it anyway, because you're obviously not seeing the WordPress code, but if the markup there is decent,
yeah,
it's probably a good indication that that author knows what they're doing.
Do you think ideally that, I mean, whether it's ThemeForest or just marketplaces in general, do you think that it should be like on their shoulders to review quality like that? Or do you think that when it comes to marketplaces, it's just a, you know, it happens?
I think in an ideal world, I think they would. But again, it's kind of like it's the unknown component is, you know, what is their main focus? Is their main focus adding to the library of themes, or is it checking quality? I definitely think both of those are core focuses, but which one gets more attention is the unknown, I think.
Right. Yeah.
I'd be interested to see how. Sorry, I cut somebody off.
No, let's go ahead.
I'd be interested to see how many times themes are rejected for their code versus how many times themes are rejected for their design. Because I feel like they have a huge, or they weigh heavily on the design more so than the code.
Definitely. Yeah.
I know I've used a few themes from there, and it's just like, what the heck was this person doing?
Yeah. That's pretty much what I was just going to say. Is I've never heard one complaint of my code or anything like, or heard anybody getting rejected because of code. It's always the small, I've been even just as of the end of last year been rejected because of design details, and then that makes me wonder okay. First of all, why are you telling me about design? And then why aren't you looking at the more important aspects of things like code? Because I don't know. To be honest, I don't know what they check. I heard something at some point that maybe they're running it through the theme check plugin, which if you're a good developer, you're doing that anyway, which I think we all do. Our code's pretty legit. But that can't be said for the majority of themes out there probably because people are running into issues all the time, and that's when you hear about it. So.
I can definitely say it's one of those. I wouldn't want their job of reviewing the themes that are submitted. Because
couldn't imagine.
Holy wow! There are probably. I mean, knowing how many must get submitted and how many are then rejected, just for there to be this many that are coming out on a weekly basis.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, the amount that are coming out now. I would say that's not always been the case. I remember when you would get approved, you would be on the homepage for almost a month.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And now you are literally off of the homepage in 1 or 2 days, which is kind of insane.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, my very first one, which again was back in June, July of last year, that was up there for a little over a week. And like you said, now it's down to a few days. Yeah. So that just goes to show how fast it's happening.
Yeah.
So do you think that there are a handful of WordPress theme marketplaces out there, or a few? I know there's Mojo Themes, and then I think is it Wonder Themes, and those are just the framework specific, because I think Genesis kind of maintains their own, or StudioPress maintains their own sort of small specific marketplace with developers there. But in any case, do you think that there will ever be a real size competitor to ThemeForest, or do you think that this is just one of those things that one person can dominate at a time?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I can't see it personally.
The only thing I can see happening is a good chunk of authors leaving to either start their own thing or shift to another marketplace. Because I definitely think it is author driven,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
The success of a marketplace. So it just depends on how satisfied I think the authors are. And I would argue that for the most part, authors are pretty happy on ThemeForest. They're vocal, but I think they're vocal because they want it to work.
Sure. Yeah.
And not so much because they're threatening to leave kind of thing.
Right. I mean, the people who run Envato and ThemeForest, I don't know if you've ever met any of them. They're all great people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we're all kind of sticking around, because we do believe that things can change. And
sure.
Yeah, they're good people. So I don't want to leave ThemeForest for some other marketplace where I don't know anybody and know their intentions. And
it's there's definitely good people all around, and it's worth, it probably would have been worth stating at the beginning that any criticisms obviously come, like you guys are saying, from a place of wanting to see it get better.
Right.
You guys all still sell there, so you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. They pay our paychecks. Of us, we make. Yep. Full-time incomes from them. So end of the day, love Envato.
Yeah. All three of us, we met the Mojo guys at WordCamp San Francisco, and they were awesome guys too. We had we hung out with them for a while. But on a business level, I just didn't have a good reason to jump ship.
Right.
Sure.
So, like you said, Ryan, there are a lot of great, sincere guys doing a lot of awesome things out there. So
it almost seems like this is I would almost relate it to the popularity and frustration that people kind of sometimes equally share for something like Facebook, that it's about where the people are. So that's why it's popular. Right. The kind of things go in waves. I mean, in this case with ThemeForest, it would be the authors sort of provide the initial momentum. And then mm-hmm. it's the people who keep coming that kind of keep that momentum steady. And, I can see what you mean when you say that if a big group of authors left to draw people elsewhere, but it's definitely got the mind share right now. It's where marketplace sales are really tending to happen. And same goes for, do any of you guys, obviously Pippin is doing far more important things right now, so we'll have him on another roundtable in the future.
That's arguable.
That's arguable?
Yeah.
I think a newborn baby is pretty, pretty important, but you can have your own opinions on that one, Caputo.
Oh, I will.
But have any of you guys ever dabbled on their other marketplaces like Code Canyon or anywhere else?
Nope.
I actually started out on Graphic River. I was a design guy first, so that's where I initially broke in. Mm-hmm. And the experience there was really what kept me going and trying out new marketplaces. The sales aren't exactly the same, but the quality of files have just gotten crazy awesome on Graphic River. I've gone and checked out some of the flyers and stuff that they have on there now. It's just insane. So I can't imagine jumping in there now. I also tried out Audio Jungle for a little bit, but I'm not an audio guy, so that didn't work out too well. I had a hard enough time hooking up this microphone.
Well, yeah, there you go. Now you got to start.
No. Yeah, my brother is planning on jumping into Audio Jungle here soon, so I'm interested to see how that goes for him.
Yeah, I actually used I remember first using Graphic River probably, I don't know, 2 years ago or something, and I used to use like iStock and places like that, and then I was like, well, let me go check out, because iStock just felt like it kept getting more expensive and more expensive, and and when I tried out Graphic River, I was very, very pleasantly surprised.
I often hear people getting their songs or little video clips being picked up by major, you know, sometimes news networks or TV shows. So, I mean, there's definitely a crowd for that. And I don't know what the extended license is like, but I'm guessing you would probably get an extended license sale on that. So it might be worth your time if you're thinking about checking it out.
Which, now that you bring up extended licenses, that's something else we could
talk about.
Is that on your list of things?
It's. Ugh. I mean, the list is so long, it's really more of a small novel than there's so many questions I have. So, okay, ThemeForest has a slightly different approach than I think most theme shops do anymore. Because the strong majority of prevalent theme shops anymore kind of sell their themes under kind of a community set license, which is GPL, which is what WordPress goes under, and it's also technically allowed or been deemed legal by the Free Software Foundation to sell a split license GPL product. So portions of the files, the PHP, it allows you to kind of cross-pollinate the licenses a little bit, so you can sell a product where the theme, like JavaScript, let's say, and the images are licensed under something else. And that's the default on ThemeForest, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, for themes on ThemeForest, is an extended, do they offer anything like an extended license? I think I've still seen that somewhere.
Well, they've made it so that the authors can actually control that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like in my case, I've deactivated it.
I think all of us have deactivated it.
Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah. I got too many fraudulent purchases from that. Like, I've only had maybe three, maybe four fraudulent purchases where Envato had to actually revoke my earnings, and more than half of them were extended license purchases.
Yeah.
So I for some reason that's a target. I'm not sure why though.
Interesting.
Well, go ahead, Jay.
No, you go ahead. You know more about what we're going to say than I do.
I was just going to say, I turned my extended licenses off earlier this year after we found out that, because the guidelines weren't very clear, I guess, that some people were buying themes from ThemeForest under the extended license and then converting them to either Joomla or, you know, another platform and just selling them outright like that. And that's, I guess that's all right under the terms, but none of us were really aware of that. So it was like, I don't want that. My theme associated with Joomla. Gross. No. So no, thank you. I'll just turn that off. So, I mean, that's why I did. I think Jamie Gibbs and Orman both were on a site that was doing that. So.
And supposedly, again, this is in the pipeline. ThemeForest had a lawyer rewrite it so that it's more clear, letting people know that that can't happen, but hasn't actually pulled through or hasn't actually come up yet.
Right.
So
right now we're all opting out of
the extended do whatever you want.
Right. And like on my themes, I did put in there, contact me if you're interested in the extended license, but I just took it off to prevent that type of thing happening that happened to Orman and Jamie.
Yeah. I see. Interesting. I wasn't, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was definitely curious about some of the licensing differences between ThemeForest and the rest of, or you know, I guess how things come into play from your side of it. But I hadn't, maybe just because I hadn't seen the extended option on your pages, I hadn't even thought about it being opted out of and why you guys would have chosen that. So
you don't know who we are, do you, Ryan?
I don't even know you. So this is kind of interesting to me, because the... I guess there are a number of theme shops that at least tend to market themselves as buy it, do whatever you want.
Yep.
And would you say that it's that you prefer a, or I don't mean to say you guys collectively, but what I'm hearing here sounds to be like buy it, do whatever you want, but not these couple things, which probably resolves around reselling the themes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to, I mean, people are just going to do what they want with it anyway. It's pretty much an honor system. I mean, I've caught buyers using it on multiple sites, and it's like, you know, they're just going to do what they want with it, because there's no way to check. There's really no way to enforce that. And so,
you mean there is a way to check, right?
Supposedly.
So they don't do it.
Is this a segue you're setting us up for?
No, I don't want that information getting out, Mike.
Yeah, no, I understand. I disregard everything I've said.
So many secrets.
Yeah, it's kind of like the copyright text at the bottom. You know, they always ask, "Can I change that?" Yeah. And it's like, "Yeah, you can. You bought it, you can do whatever you want with it." But you feel a little timid saying that, cuz you wonder how far they'll go with it.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, despite what they are in their right to do, despite what they are able to do once they've purchased it, it's still, you know, you're still connected to it. It's still your baby.
Yep.
Pippin just had his baby.
Yep.
Does that ever make you wonder, I guess, because hearing the stuff about support and particularly people wanting maybe some stuff some problems solved that don't really fall under what you should expect from a product that you're buying like this. Do you think that there's any credence to more of a membership system rather than strict product sales? Or do you think that, you know what I mean? Because there are some shops out there that have switched to, well, you pay this a month and you get all of our themes and all the support, right? And they basically kind of make all their money off of the loyalty of their support base.
Right,
Mike. Mike has the best perspective on that with your bundle thing, right?
You mean the theme stack thing?
Yeah, the theme stack.
Theme stack. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I call it a theme stack. Well, I just
it's a good name. I like that name.
You can buy them all individually, or you can buy them as a bundle, and I add to the bundle, and it's the same thing though. I mean, they can technically do what they want with it, but it's in hopes that they don't. Mm-hmm. but yeah, I don't know. It's I've been thinking about that model as well, and because you see everyone jumping to this membership thing, I don't think I'm big enough to do that, but it's very curious to see how successful it is. I don't know. To do some more research on that, I think.
Fair enough. I can definitely understand the appeal to the, I guess, that form of recurring revenue, because obviously you guys have themes selling, you know, all the time, whether it's a brand new theme or an older theme, probably even more in some cases with older.
Yeah, I think the membership sort of forces you into more of a release schedule, though, because people want, you know, they want their products, and that's what they're paying for, in hopes that, like, oh, we'll get more themes under this price, you know. So
becomes a machine.
Exactly. I don't want that responsibility. I want zero responsibility. I want all the money and zero responsibility.
So do you think that potentially people taking and then reselling your themes is just a risk that you run into when you're digital sales like this?
Yeah, people take them and just torrent them, you know. So you can get any of our themes on the torrents if you want them. So yeah, it's just a risk, just like that. So.
Douchebag included.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, also, huge risk included. Don't ever download something from a torrent and then put it on your site somewhere. You'd be a crazy person. Actually, I'm just running through the chat here, seeing if there's
some questions on support.
Yeah. Okay.
I saw how many hours are spent each week on support. That's actually something that I am currently trying to figure out. I have one guy helping me out with support, and he's doing about 5 hours a week on my support forums, and I'm doing probably about that as well. And I don't think we're getting to all of the questions that we receive. So we could definitely spend a little bit more time in that regard. Support is definitely, in my perspective, the most challenging aspect of being successful on ThemeForest.
Yeah, more themes, more support.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jake, have you run into that specifically yet? Support overwhelming now, you know, a year into, I guess, releasing stuff.
Yeah, no, it's not overwhelming for me quite yet. I maybe have an hour a day, and then the support form is clear. Whereas these guys, if they spend that much time in there, they're going to be drowning.
Yeah. I recently hired one guy as well. I've been doing all development and support just by myself. And then recently got a guy in there to help me, and that's incredible. It was the best investment I've ever made. So, but I still help, you know, it's like a 50-50 thing. He helps, and then I hop in there and get the ones that he needs help with. So
I believe his name is Scott Calvin.
Is that what's going on in here?
I've seen a
few
mentions
going on in there.
Support staff.
He just quit, I think.
Uh-huh. Oh, you'll have that.
What a jerk.
Yeah. But someone also asked, what do you guys use for support? I use Tender. It's like a support. It's like a web app, just like a forum, but it allows you know, queues and teams, stuff like that. It's pretty awesome.
I'm using there's a plugin on Code Canyon called Author HQ, and it's made specifically for Envato, or for use with things from Envato, because people have to put in their purchase code so that it'll actually make sure that they bought your item. Before you have to give them, or before they can log in and you give them support. And it's been pretty good. I don't really have many complaints about it.
Yeah, I'm using BB Press, which, and I'm using a couple of plugins for support related type of things. I've been using it for a couple of years now. So I kind of just started doing it because I got so overwhelmed with responding to comments on ThemeForest, and I didn't really plan out ahead of like the kind of features and stuff I wanted. I just wanted to get it all in one spot. So if I were to do it again, I think something just came out called Tixie, which is Justin Sheets. He's another Theme Forest author, just started launching, and it's some kind of ticket system that I think incorporates Twitter. I'm not too familiar. Someone might know better than I do, but I would probably go with something like that if I were to start all over. But everything's kind of in my database. I have no idea how to transfer anywhere else, so I'm kind of stuck for the time being.
I'm in the same boat, I think.
Is it interesting?
I'm fairly happy with my choices, so
yeah, suck on that.
here's a question from the chat that I think is interesting, which you're free to not answer, but which is always the case. Bradley says, how much profit, not sales, do you have to make just to break even on a theme? $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. And so obviously that question could go down a sensitive road, but I'm curious, at what point do you consider a theme a failure?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it depends on the theme, really, how much time it took to create, how much time you put into it, and then how it's received.
And how much money you need, how much it costs to live.
Yep.
I intentionally do not keep track of how much time exactly I'm spending on themes.
Okay.
I just have like a rough idea, but I know that if I knew the exact amount of time, I would probably be a little upset at myself, because I know that I am spending way more than I should. And I, it's not necessarily constantly moving forward either. It's just a lot of staring and
undoing.
Yeah. So going back and forth and So I honestly have no idea how much time I spend. So I have no idea how much I would need to make to balance that out.
Right.
But
what's your arbitrary number there?
Like sales?
No, like how many hours you're putting into one of these?
Well, it really varies. Right now I'm working on one. Right now I'm working on one that's probably been about a month and a half, and I'm just still on the homepage. So
yeah,
it's a little insane.
Yeah.
So you've been staring at the homepage for a month and a half.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. I think another thing people don't realize is, we sell a theme for $35 and, we get 70% of that. So it's $24, something like that. But then
you get 70%. I don't get 70%.
Yeah. Right. But,
he's using the royal
$24. Now if we spend just a half hour helping you in the forum, that's money out of our pockets to either pay a support person or more time that we're spending ourselves.
Yeah.
So to make that up, man, you have to put up pretty big numbers to even it all out and make it worth your time.
Oh yeah.
But that's something that I think slips a lot of people's minds. It's like, well, I paid $35 for this. Well, you did, and just a zip file alone, I feel like, is worth $35. So the help that we're providing is not accounted for, but we're still doing it for you.
Yeah. I would probably guess that the majority of authors are at a loss if you factor in time as money.
Yeah.
But it's again, because of the high volume of an audience that ThemeForest has, you just don't care,
Yeah.
And there's a different level of satisfaction that you get just in releasing something and people appreciating it. So if I were selling widgets, I probably would have left a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about WordPress widgets. I'm talking about little metal circles or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were talking about support stuff right before we dipped into that question. I'm curious, what are you guys all on Macs, or are there PC users amongst you?
Mac.
I'm a Mac, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Mac.
I thought I remembered that from seeing you guys all posted pictures of your mics this week, so I was pretty sure that was the case, but I don't like to assume. What kind of tool sets do you use? What do you code with? What do you interface with? What's your stuff?
Molitor?
Yeah. I'm doing Coda as my primary code editor. I'm pretty satisfied with it. I know there's a lot that other people would say, like Espresso is better, but I'm pretty happy with Coda. And then I use Photoshop. Sometimes I'm kind of trying to get out of using Photoshop and attempting to design in the browser. So I might in the near future just be doing Firefox and Coda.
Yeah, I like that idea.
I'm in the same boat as Molitor. I'm using Coda, and I pretty much design in browser now. I go into Photoshop if I need to, or if I want to hash something out a little more. Because anything I want to do in code is not easily transferable into Photoshop, or you got to mess with the effects, and then it doesn't look right, and you got to deal with all that.
Yeah, that was probably one of the things that kept me from doing it initially in the browser.
Yeah, I use Coda as well. I jumped around. I tried Espresso and a few other ones, but ultimately ended up back into Coda. And I sometimes design maybe a header part of the homepage in Photoshop, but I usually just jump right into the code. I have a good idea of what it's going to look like in my head, so I just go straight to the browser.
Interesting. I imagine that would save time. Seems like there's a few Espresso fans voicing their support in the chat, but otherwise, you guys, I'm kind of surprised. You don't often find three developers all using the same tools to do the work. It's usually
right.
A little bit more varied than that.
We're best friends.
Ah,
yep.
Besties. All right. Well, let's see if the chat has anything else. Is there anything else? I should give you guys all ample time to plug whatever you want to at this point.
I think everyone should definitely, because Pippin couldn't be here, you should check out pippinsplugins.com.
Boom.
And he's got a bunch of awesome plugins and stuff, so you should check him out. And that's me speaking for him.
I have to plug Theme Province just because he asked me to.
All right.
Theme Province, yeah.
I have no plugs.
Oh, my.
I'll plug OK Themes, OKAY Themes for the Phonetically Challenged. You know, we didn't really talk about dragons. I guess that's all right.
Yeah. Well, we got to leave something to keep them enticed for the next time.
That's true.
That's part two. Next time. That's.
Is there going to be a next time?
I hope so. I think there are lots of topics I would like to talk to you guys about, or right. even different variations of you. We're going to have to get Pippin back on eventually. I don't know how old we have to. What's the respectable age you have to let a newborn get before you can request their father be on a podcast?
Chris, you want to field this one?
I think he should be here right now. I don't know.
Right away, baby in arm.
Yep.
You got to teach him right from the get go. It's like, you know, daddy's usually busy, so this is how things are gonna be. Cool. Well, all of your Twitter, I feel like the chat room is just filled with lots of people who know who you guys are. But in any case, Mike at Mike McAllister 1L, which I always mess up. Still.
Yep. Yes, you do.
Thanks. I'm glad it's obvious. Jake at Jake Caputo, CAPUTO, and at the Molitor for Chris Molitor. It sounds like your last name, Chris, sounds like it should be some sort of mythical beast.
that's where the nickname came
from.
Yeah,
it fits. The whole look fits, but every time I hear it, that's what I think of. I don't know what it would be. Like, it's some sort of a deer with a human body or something. I don't know what that is, but...
See, I think comic book villain.
Comic book villain?
Yeah.
Maybe adding notes.
Especially with the helmet logo.
I could see that. Well, thanks everybody in the chat room. Big thanks to you guys for sticking around and doing this kind of first experimental roundtable podcast. I think it turned okay. Did you guys have a good time?
Yeah.
Well, this was the second one. The first one you didn't show up
The
to.
First one was really good.
Yeah, a lot better.
So much better. But hopefully this was adequate. That's what I'm looking for from you, Jake.
Yeah, it was adequate, and we'll never let this down.
I know. Oh, believe me, I know. Well, awesome. Thanks, everybody in the chat room, and we'll see you next week for another one, I guess. Bye, guys.
All right, take it easy.
See you.